one of my original mentors, Jim Rohn, used to have this phrase. He used to say, you know, Tony, don't worry about it. If you give your all every day, your gifts will make room for you. And it's like having a knowingness that things are going to be fine. And then there's the next level, which is you start to know who you are, and you're not trying to prove it to yourself or other people. And you just want to help. You just want to do things. And so now you, it's the difference between what I would call push motivation and pull, right? Push is, I'm going to make this happen. And it takes tremendous willpower. And I know you have plenty of willpower. I do as well. But there's a limit to willpower. But there's no limit to pull. Pull is when there's something magnificent that you want to serve, something that you've got an obsession for, to create or to do or make happen. And that doesn't, it, you know, you don't lose that energy. You don't lose those components. And you're able to laugh and enjoy along the way. If you don't have 10 minutes for your life, you don't have a life. And I want to prime myself so whatever comes into this world, I have the best chance of handling it really well. And I'm training my nervous system. What's the emotion I want to train? Gratitude. Why? We all know the two emotions that destroy your relationship, your business, your life, it's fear and anger. Those are two extremes. You can't be grateful and fearful simultaneously. You can't be angry and grateful simultaneously. So what I do is I start my day, I make those changes, and I close my eyes or I look out at the water and I think of three things that I'm grateful for just a minute each. But I don't think of it like over there, like if you've ever been on a roller coaster and I ask you what it's like, some people remember it over there. No, I remember it like I'm in the front seat going over the edge, because then you get the authentic biochemical changes. So I'm there and I do two strong things and usually one simple thing, like the wind in my hair or my daughter's smile or something of that nature. So I don't just get wired for unbelievable things, but that primes that nervous system. And then the second thing I do is I take 3 minutes and it's kind of like a blessing. But eventually you wake up and say, it's good to be strong with yourself, but beating yourself up just lowers your energy. And when your energy gets lower, you produce less, right? You don't have the same level of joy. You don't have the impact that you want to have, nor do you have the excitement that you really want to have. So I look at it as something that it's worth earning your own self-esteem, but it's really not the secret. The secret is find something else you obsess about more than yourself, and you'll have a level of energy that will compel you over the long term.
It's that tension, this interesting tension between balancing ambition and gratitude.
Yes.
And, you know, this fear that, well, if I pat myself on the back too much,
right,
what if that stops the drive? You know, it's coming from this place of fear, this fear of not being enough, this fear of failure.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue to disprove it. And I don't want to let up, because that's the only fuel that I know.
We don't experience life. None of us do. We experience the life we focus on. So in any moment, what's wrong is always available. So is what's right. So it's not about being positive. It's about being intelligent, right? You know, when you're in a totally negative state and, you know, the world's going to end and there are people like believing that in the next 12 years, you know, the entire environment's going to collapse and they won't have a child. You know, you got to look at the impact of what you're believing, and you got to look at and say, you know, where's my focus going? I can always be upset about something. If you're always focused on missing, how can you sustain happiness?
You're in a permanent place of lack.
That's correct. So scarcity is there. So you'll have drive, right, to keep staying on the hamster wheel of achievement, but you're not going to see much fulfillment, not in a sustainable way. It's impossible. And it has nothing to do with you or me, right? It's just software. And we got a soul. We're not software. But you run your software so often, you start thinking your mind is you versus my mind is a tool that I'm going to use. Or if I don't use it, it's going to use me. Now, the minute you focus on something, your brain has to decide, what does it mean? And meaning is what creates emotion, and emotion is where your life is, right? And so the quality of your life is the quality of your emotions. If you got $1 billion and every day you're pissed off and angry, your life's quality is called pissed off and angry. If you got three beautiful children, a husband or wife you love, but you worry all the time, your life is worry. Pre-framing is telling somebody, getting someone to focus on something, knowing in advance what you're going to focus on and giving it a meaning in advance before it happens. That's a lot easier than after it's happened. Because after it's happened, you have a meaning locked in to some extent, especially if it's something that's painful. If you can recognize patterns, the fear disappears. Second skill, use the pattern. When you know what the pattern is and you use it, now you have mastery of something. Now you can do better than most people in that area. So, you know, I interview all these people, the best investors in the world, they're all different, but I recognize the patterns that are in common. And when I'm done, my billionaire clients love it, and the average person can learn from it because the patterns are fundamental, right? If I want to learn the piano in the beginning, I have to learn probably somebody else's patterns that have figured it out. That's how I learn. But if I use those patterns over and over again, I'll eventually get to where I can do the third skill, which is pattern creation. Now you have an amazing life. Now you're not managing your circumstances. You're the creator of your life. But you have to first recognize them so you're not in fear. And then here's an example. When did humanity transform from a fearful place as its primary base, where we were hunter-gatherers, right? Where literally you had to move from place to place and you didn't know if you're going to eat or survive. What changed that to be able to live in a community and grow a community, a city, a state, a country? One pattern recognition, seasons. The day that we figured out that if I do the right thing at the wrong time, I get nothing. But if I plant it this specific time in the spring, and if I know I got to protect it during the hot summer, I'm going to reap in the fall. And if I hang on to some of that, I'll make it through the next winter. That changed humanity completely. One recognition. And most of us don't have that recognition of the season. So here's a season for you and your audience to consider. What season are you in right now? Because human life has four seasons, if we want to call it that. As an oversimplification, 0 to 21 is springtime. What do you know about springtime? Is it hard to grow during springtime? Things grow automatically in springtime. If you start a business in springtime, you're going to think you're the business genius. No, you're just in springtime. Everybody's optimistic. Things grow easily. Goes. It's an overall theme. It lasts about 17 to 20 years on average. The real question is, what do you want? And I think there's, if you want an extraordinary life, which my definition of that is life on your terms. Like, what's my idea? It might be different than yours completely. Some people, it's three beautiful children, a white picket fence. Some people, it's building a multi-billion-dollar business. Somebody else, it's writing poetry, right? So instead of looking for somebody else, it's like, okay, what do you really want from your life? And aligning yourself with moving forward towards what you really want. And I think if you can do that in a way that also you feel serving others simultaneously, there's a sense of meaning in life that can't be replaced by self-esteem or praise or compliments or being nice to yourself. And I don't think it's bad to be tough on yourself. I'm pretty tough on myself, I'll be honest with you. But I'm much better at celebrating now. And I also realize being overly tough on yourself usually comes by making, you know, comparisons that don't make sense. Aristotle said, you know, how do you not be criticized? Say nothing, do nothing, be nothing, right? And you're like, F that, right? You know, I know who the hell I am. And it's like, I'd love to serve everybody. It's not going to be right for everybody. I'm totally fine. But you're not trying to prove it. All you really want to do is serve. So I used to have these giant mission statements, change the world, all these things. And I do all those things. But now it's like my mission statement is, how can I help? Spiritual development is the level of comfort you can have with just being your real self. And I think that's not an easy task because we all are trying to be something, but we already are the something we're trying to be. That doesn't mean you can't be better, but it's like accepting and appreciating what you really are. And instead of projecting, you know, something else, takes a lot of pain out of your body, takes a lot of wasted energy out. It gets a lot of fears to just disappear. And I don't have an easy path for that. I think it's the hero's journey. You know, what is it? Your life is ordinary and everything seems fine. And then something hits you and it's the call to adventure. It doesn't feel like a call. It feels like somebody in your family's got cancer. It feels like, you know, COVID and somebody shut down your business, you know, or, you know, some issue that's happening in your relationship with your kids. But if you take the call and you go on the journey, you're going to meet some new friends. You're going to find some new mentors. You're going to, you know, you're going to battle with internal things within you and external things. But if you keep going, you're going to eventually slay your dragons and you come out the hero of your own life and you have something to share that isn't bullshit. It's not something you read somewhere. It's something you've lived.
Something you want.
And everybody can feel you've lived it because it's a different level of ownership, you know? And then, by the way, as soon as you do that, it happens again. You know, you're called on another journey. You have a new level of challenge that you need to go on. It, you know, it just never ends, but it makes life really, really beautiful. Good times, great weak people. Weak people create bad times. Bad times create strong people. Strong people create great times. What I want people to get is, you gotta know where you are in your life and where you are in history, and you gotta learn to take advantage of it. You can't complain that it's winter. During winter, if you start a business in winter and you succeed, 60% of all the Fortune 1000 companies that are alive today, the biggest, some successful companies, could have been born in any one of those four seasons. They were all born in winter.
Wow.
Gotta in a recession
it.
Or a depression.
Gotta love it.
From FedEx to Disney. Disney was depression. Yeah. FedEx was a recession. I can walk you through them all. So that process makes you strong. And what changed my life was finding that part that's inside of all of us that will not give up. You know, I'm proud to be a good human being. I believe I'm a good human being. But I think hunger often comes, not always, often comes from having gone through enough pain. Like, I've suffered enough. I don't want somebody else to suffer. Anger only gets you so far. It's the fuel that burns out very quickly. Now, let's take a second one. Do you tend to focus more? I'm sure I know the answer on this one is. You're more on what you can or can't control. There's three decisions we make every moment of our lives. The first decision we're making is, what are we going to focus on? Right now, there's millions of things we could focus on. People listening can be focused on what they're doing, mm-hmm, what we're saying, whether it matters or not, you know, a million things, right? But we only focus on a small band of things, and whatever we focus on, we experience in life. But then the second decision you make as soon as you focus on something is you give it a meaning. Is this the end of the beginning? If you think it's the end of a relationship, you're going to behave very different than the beginning. Is this person dissing me? Are they challenging me? Are they coaching me? Are they actually loving me? Whatever meaning you create produces emotion, and those emotions control your third decision, which is, what are you going to do? We don't experience life. We experience life we focus on. But once we understood seasons, we knew if you do the right thing at the wrong time, there is zero reward. But if you do the right thing at the right time, the rewards are immense. So if you plant in the winter, I don't care how hard you work, or the summer, you get nothing. It's like recognizing the seasons changed humanity. Well, there's a season in your own life. Some of your viewers are younger, maybe 0 to 21. Think of that as springtime. When it's springtime, what does spring have? Everything grows easily. Mm-hmm. If it's a springtime in business, you think you're a genius because your business grows. Everybody's business grows because mm-hmm. it's a time of tremendous optimism and immense growth. The environment's different. People's attitudes are different. But these cycles go through 18, 20-year cycles. If you study 1,000 years of Roman history, which I've done, or 500 years of Anglo-American history, you see about every 18 to 20 years, there's a shift. It's kind of like we exhaust an emotion. Do you ever smile so much your face hurt?
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you need a change.
Sure.
Well, after springtime, the easy time, comes a summertime. And the summer is always a testing time. It's tougher. A lot of people plant in the spring and they go, where's my crop? Are you new? You have to get through all the seasons, right? So summer tests people. And then you go to another reaping time. You go to the fall where it's easy again, where now things flow. Economies go crazy. People want to give you a mortgage even though you barely have a pulse and not a job. You remember those days,
right? Of course. No income, no assets.
Yeah. And boom, just give it to anyway. And markets go through the roof. But again, what follows that is winter. And the great thing about life is you never skip from the fall to spring. You always go through winter. Some are short, some are long, some are hard, some are easy. But we go through them. They have a purpose. They weed out the weak. They make us, if we push through it, stronger. They make everything better going forward. So there's a purpose in every season. What happened to that kid born in 1910 and 1929 when he's 19 thinking he's going to go get a car, he's going to go get a party? The whole world turned upside down. The Depression, people jumping out of buildings, the Dust Bowl, people standing in line for bread. And by the way, they made it through 10 years of depression. Now, that doesn't mean every day is dark. You know, you can be in winter and have beautiful days. 31, 32 were nice times. But the overall thing was testing, and they became strong because they had to be. Then right when they turned 29, 1939, what happens? World War II. Mm-hmm. You and I weren't alive then, but anybody was alive then, it looked like the world was ending. Yep. Hitler was taking over countries in days, blitzkrieging everywhere. And so what happened is that generation volunteered and went to war, and they won the war, and they came back the heroes. They're now known as the greatest American generation. And they were known as flappers and losers. What made them strong was pushing through winter. Everybody, listen to me now, everybody goes through winter if they live 80 years plus. You know, if you look at the history of the world, good times create weak people. They're not bad people, they just have never been challenged. So I had these experiences that challenged me so strongly, and I met the challenge, and it changed my sense of identity about who I was and what I was capable of. And then I couldn't help but spread that. And I slept on the hill one night, it was raining. And then the next day I was like, I can't stay in the rain. I went to this girlfriend's house and they let me stay in their, you know, their little, washing machine room. And then I took the little money I had and I took these buses and I bought a book. I went to Claremont, California. It was about 15 miles away. And I bought this book at this bookstore called The Magic of Believing by Claude M. Bristol. And it talked about how to program your mind. And I was writing on the mirror in the laundry room all my goals. And I made these posters that only a idiot gets depressed, only a loser gets depressed. It's not true, but that was my way of leveraging myself, right? And I started to make these changes. And then I tried to go to work for Jim Rohn, and it was Christmas, so I had to keep working as a janitor. And what changed my life was finding that part that's inside of all of us that will not give up. I was so driven. I wanted to, it was a way of finding love with my father, was by becoming better. Mm-hmm. And I also had huge drive because I just wanted to be more. I didn't want to settle. I looked at our family and all the pain that I saw my mother go through and we would go through, and I was like, I'm not going to have a future like that. I'm going to find some way to do more. So it produced drive. So even when I was in sports, I was so competitive in junior high school that, like, you know, I was a little guy, but I played linebacker and quarterback. And I would, during practice, guys would complain because I'd stick them so hard. And I'd say, you get strong. I'm half your size. But, you know, you get low, you can take anybody out, right? So I had this intensity and that level. We don't experience life. We experience life we focus on. Meaning there's what's wrong is always available, so is what's right. Whatever you focus on, you feel, even if it's not true. If you imagine something horrible mm-hmm. is going to happen, you mm-hmm. feel it. You're mm-hmm. in your body, right? So focus equals feeling. Focus equals reality to the individual. You know, it's a reality and actuality. We decide every moment we're deciding what to focus on, but most of us don't decide consciously. It's based on habit. So we're not in control. But we can consciously choose what to focus on. When we decide what to focus on, our brain has to come up with a meaning, like we said, the end of the beginning. Loving me or dissing me, whatever the case may be. And that affects your emotions, which decides the third decision, what am I going to do? Let's start with focus. Let's take three patterns of focus for your audience. If I asked you, and I think I know with you, it would be pretty simple, but which of these do you tend to spend more time in? Do you tend to focus more on what you have or what's missing?
What's missing?
That's right. And when I ask most audiences that I have of 20,000 people in the stadium, the majority of them are achievers, and the majority of them focus on what's missing. Now, since COVID, during COVID, almost everybody was focused on what's missing because mm-hmm. many things were taken from
sure.
them. So now I want you to think about this. If you constantly focus on what's missing, it'll make you keep pushing, but it's very hard to sustain deep levels of happiness mm-hmm. because you're all focused on what's missing. And so you're an overachiever, so you can still stack those enough to still feel good. But for most people, they go, what's missing? I'm missing the love of my life. I'm missing this. I'm missing that. That puts them in a state of frustration, anger, sadness, or ultimately depression. That period of time, by the way, 22 to 42, if people are in that stage of life right now, it's statistically the most unhappy period because people are trying. They thought it was going to be easy. It's not so easy. They eventually learn. Usually in their early 30s. Yeah. And then what they learn is, well, not as easy as I thought. I'm not as invincible as I thought. And they have to figure things out. And they're trying to prove themselves to themselves and others. They haven't figured it all out yet. Now, some people do these seasons earlier, some later, but it's a good range. In that power period, that's when you have greatest economic growth. That's when you start having long-term relationships. But the ultimate time is really when you get to 63 to 83 or 63 to 103 or 63 to 120, which is the oldest humans. The final season, the winter season. But that's the season in which you really are the elder of society, and if you've done your job up front, you've reaped so much, all you want to do is give back, and you don't worry about what people think about you. It's all patterns, as you know, Patrick. Like, if anyone listening wants to say, okay, the world seems uncertain, and yeah, I have 5 kids and 5 grandkids, so I have a 50-year-old daughter, and I have a 3.5-year-old daughter, because 3 of my kids I adopted early on when I was just 24, 25 years old, and so I look at my grandkids, especially at my youngest daughter, and I think 40% of the jobs, if you believe the studies, are going to be gone because of AI, because of robotics, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. of nanotechnology and so forth. So how do I arm them to do well in the future? And the answer is there's 3 skills everybody needs, and they're so simple. And they're the skills that make anybody masterful. It's made you successful in your insurance business. It's what's made you successful in this business. The first thing is pattern recognition. If you start recognizing patterns, fear disappears. Because like right now, people say, oh, we've never been so divided. Or now the country has a little more optimism, but we've never been so divided. That's total BS. Mm-hmm. I can show you the letters that are put out that were posted between Jefferson and Adams. And if you read what they wrote, it makes anything the left or right has said about each other look calm compared to that. So it's like we go in cycles. So when you recognize a pattern, you no longer react. It's like losers react, leaders anticipate. Anticipation is power. So when you know the pattern, and that's what makes anybody great. They see the pattern. But what makes them really great is the second skill, when you learn to use the patterns. So if you and I look at anybody, you see somebody that's great in investing. I've interviewed 50 of the very, more than 50 of the very best in the world. The Ray Dalios, the Carl Icahns, the Warren Buffetts, all the best in private equity. And what you begin to see is there are certain patterns, even though they go about it differently, that are universal. Mm-hmm. If you sow the same seeds, you reap the same rewards, but they know how to use it. If you see somebody great in music or dance or a movie maker, they know where to move the camera to move your emotion. They bring it in close, when to bring the music up, how to do it. They know it. That makes them masterful. But the third level skill is pattern creation. That's what you've begun to do. That's what I've begun to do. It's like when you learn to play a piano, most people learn someone else's patterns. Mm-hmm. You learn to see the patterns, recognize them, then you learn to use them. But if you do enough other music, then now you get to come out and you start creating things. So I'm standing on the shoulders of all the people before me, as are you, because I learned so many things to them. But now at this stage of my life, the last 15, 20 years, I've been able to create things because I know what those patterns are. So those skill sets, that's how my kids will do well. Because if you can learn rapidly and recognize patterns, there's nothing you can't do well at. And that's really, and the, by the way, noting the patterns of where we are in history, the pattern of where you are in your own life. I'll give you a simple example. What made human beings go from survival, living in fear, where we're hunter-gatherers, to where we could stay in one place, build communities, build cities, build countries, have homes, have the education. What made that possible was one pattern recognition that changed humanity. What? Seasons.
Seasons.
Until we understood seasons, we had to constantly move from place to place and hope we could find our food. But once we understood seasons, we knew if you do the right thing at the wrong time, there is zero reward. But if you do the right thing at the right time, the rewards are immense.
Work moves fast. From emails and reports to proposals and updates, you're expected to think clearly, write confidently, and get it right the first time. And every message counts. That's where Grammarly comes in. It gives you everything you need to think, write, and finish in one place, or anywhere you type and text. You'll never have to switch tools or tabs. Grammarly's AI agents are built for how you work and where you work, so you can find the right words, adjust your tone, and predict how your message might land before you hit send. Your ideas will get a boost while still sounding natural, credible, and just the way you want. For nearly 17 years, Grammarly has been the standard for responsible AI. It's the premier writing tool that 93% of users trust to get more work done. In a world of generic AI, don't sound like everyone else. With Grammarly, you never will. Download Grammarly for free at Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.